My commentary today will focus on the absurdity of the call for reparations. But two current moves by Democrats need all the exposure they can get. First, last week, New York's Democrats voted to set aside $27 million of taxpayer money for illegal immigrants' college needs. At the same time, they voted not to expand the fund for college tuition of Gold Star families. Gold Star families are those who had sons and daughters who sacrificed their life for our country. Illegal immigrants are those who broke the laws of our country to come here illegally. How Democrats could vote to enrich illegal immigrants and deny expanded help for Gold Star families tells us all we need to know about the priority of the Democratic Party. The mainstream media hesitated to report this atrocity, but Fox News and a couple of other conservative outlets exposed the hypocrisy. Democrats are now scrambling to reverse course. They may or may not do that, but the damage to the Democratic Party has been done. No patriotic American can support valuing illegal aliens over Gold Star families. It is no wonder that there is a mass assault on our border by illegal aliens. Democrats have made it so tempting for those illegal aliens that they're willing to allow themselves to be trucked to the border and coached on how to use loopholes in our immigration policy. They have been taught that all they need to get into the United States is a child or children. Some come with their own children, while others arrive with children who are not family members but on loan from human traffickers. Many of those children are then recycled back into Mexico to be used again and again. If an illegal alien arrives on our border with a child or children, current immigration law keeps border control from detaining them more than a short period. After that, they have to be released into the United States. While these illegal immigrants are told to report back for a court hearing, most never come back. They are living among us all across the country. Some of these people simply are looking for a better life. But even if they have that in mind, they have no right to invade our country illegally. If they truly deserve admittance to this country, there are legal avenues for them to follow. But among those caravans of illegal aliens seeking to invade our country are rapists and murderers, drug and human traffickers, and yes, terrorists. Terrorists know they cannot enter our country legally, but they found an easy way to assimilate into the caravans and gain entry. If you were a terrorist, would you find it easier to rent a child and circumvent our laws, or try to enter at ports of entry like New York or Miami? We are destroying ourselves from within, just as Nikita Khrushchev of Russia and other socialists and communists predicted decades ago, and Democrats are leading that effort. Some do so because they are socialists or communists themselves. Others are too politically ignorant to realize that they are complicit. And now to the hypocrisy of Democrats who have long called for more refugees. President Trump called their bluff and suggested that he might send the refugees at our southern border to cities and states that have identified themselves as sanctuary cities. Democrats went ballistic. They and their media allies said that Trump was dumping these refugees into those sanctuary cities. But all the president suggested was that transportation, food, and water be provided for these illegal aliens while they were placed in cities and states that have called for more refugees to be admitted into this country. Places like Nancy Pelosi's home city of San Francisco. Pelosi's mansion sits in an area that doesn't want these refugees. That is the same with all of the sanctuary cities and states. They are appalled that someone would suggest placing these refugees in their neighborhoods. Instead, send them to places like rural Idaho and Pennsylvania. Democrats have been caught in their web of lies and deceit. They meant that refugees should be welcomed in and given support using taxpayers' money, but not in their affluent neighborhoods. There are no refugees in Maxine Waters' neighborhood, none in Barack Hussein Obama's neighborhood. You won't find illegal alien refugees in Pelosi's neighborhood or the fancy digs that Chuck Schumer lives in. No, Democrats want to proclaim themselves holier than thou. They have long championed illegal refugee rights, as if an illegal alien, a law-breaking non-citizen, should have any rights here. But when Trump called their bluff and suggested sending these illegal refugees into the exclusive neighborhoods of liberal Democrats, they went crazier than a chicken surrounded by men with cleavers dressed like Colonel Sanders. Democrats continue to dig a hole for themselves by swinging to far-left socialism, backing Muslim congresswomen who have only disdain for this country and hate for Israel, and calling for the bankruptcy of America under a swarm of illegal aliens with outstretched hands, seeking money and benefits from hard-working American taxpayers. Democrats see the caravans of illegal aliens who continue to form and travel towards our border, and they call for open borders to make it easier for them to pillage and plunder our economy. And that leads me into the insane argument for reparations to further drain our resources. Cory Booker is the former mayor of Newark, New Jersey. Booker's time in that office saw corruption and violence increase. In spite of that, and due to the heavy population of blacks in New Jersey, Booker was elected to the Senate. Last week, Booker introduced a bill in the Senate that would allow for reparations to atone for slavery to be paid to blacks who were never slaves from whites who never owned slaves. As a black man, Cory Booker becomes eligible to receive money from you and me for something that happened more than 150 years ago. Among others who would be eligible for reparation cash from white people would be Oprah Winfrey, with an estimated net worth of some $300 billion. Magic Johnson and Michael Jordan, with $500 million. Bill Cosby and rap artist Jay-Z, worth some $500 million. Sean Diddy Combs and Robert Johnson of BET, some $600 million. Multimillionaire Michelle Obama. Beyoncé, with a net worth of some $350 million, Spike Lee, Maxine Waters, Elijah Cummings, Loretta Lynch, and Eric Holder are among those who could receive money from you. It's not certain how Barack Hussein Obama or Tiger Woods would be compensated since they are only half black. The whole idea of reparations is absurd. Can any black recipients show that their ancestors were not engaged in the slave trade of Africa? No, I'm neither a racist nor a white nationalist. I believe in treating people all the same way until they show me a reason to dislike them. But it will never be because of race. Having said that, I am a nationalist in that I am all in for America, my country. We will always have fools, blacks and whites, doing stupid things to draw attention to themselves. We do not do ourselves a favor by getting all wrought up when a moron shows they are a moron. How many smarts does it take to fashion a noose out of toilet paper and leave it in a bathroom to cause alarm? We're getting upset at a moron, for Pete's sake. I don't share anything with white nationalists, but I also have trouble with blacks who form cliques and circle the wagons around themselves. Why is that not black nationalism? Black goons at polling places with weapons. Why is that not as offensive as goofy white nationalists marching down the street? I can only speak for myself, but I believe that I also speak for the great majority of white people who are tired of the attacks on us because the color of our skin is not what others would like. I've spent a lot of money researching my family tree, and my ancestors never owned a slave as far as I can determine. They were all poor farmers and carpenters. My ancestor, 16-year-old Thomas Joyner, left the Isle of Wight for England in 1635 as an indentured servant to a man named Edward Robbins. He arrived at the Isle of Wight, Virginia, with little more than the clothes on his back. Far from privileged by his white skin, my young ancestor served his master for more than 7 years to pay for his passage. I also have no more responsibility for the words or actions of my ancestors than people with a black skin have in America. Many Africans were responsible for cannibalism, headhunting, and enabling slavery, practicing slavery themselves. Many Africans, even today, are enslaving other blacks. Are those descended from Africans responsible for what was done hundreds or thousands of years ago by their ancestors? Moreover, since black Africans and Muslims are still enslaving Africans today, why is black America not rising up against that? Where is Farrakhan, Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, Maxine Waters, Elijah Cummings, and other blacks in power positions while blacks are being hunted and enslaved in Mother Africa this very day? Democratic presidential candidates have begun catering for the black vote by proposing reparations for slavery. They are kissing the keister of Sharpton and Jackson to get their support. Writer Walter Williams, himself black, debunked the foolish reparations idea in a newspaper column and offered reasons why the idea of reparations will not work. Liberal Democrats quickly dismissed his thoughts as they rushed forward to capture the votes of black Americans. Once again, they do it every 4 years. Absence from the reparations debate is who pays. Don't say the government, because the government doesn't have any money that it doesn't take from other Americans. So, which Americans owe black people what? Reparations advocates don't want that question asked because they don't want to hear the answer. Are the millions of Europeans, Asians, and Latin Americans who migrated to the United States in the 20th century responsible for slavery? And should they be forced to cough up reparations money? What about descendants of Northern whites who fought and died in the name of freeing slaves? Should their families be forced to cough up reparations money for today's black Americans? What about Southern whites who never owned a slave, the great majority of whites? Should they be forced to pay reparations? On the black people's side of the ledger, thorny issues also arise. Some blacks purchased other blacks as a means to free family members, but other blacks owned slaves for the same reason that whites owned slaves, to work on their farms or their plantations. Are descendants of these black slave holders eligible and deserving of reparations? While there is no way that Europeans could have captured millions of Africans, the story is still told. They had African and Arab help in doing so. Should we haul representatives of Ghana, the Ivory Coast, Nigeria, and Muslim states before Congress and demand they pay reparations? By the way, is there anybody prepared to make the argument that blacks in America today would be better off if they were still in Africa? And if blacks would not be better off, then why reparations? Reparations advocates make the foolish, unchallenged pronouncement that the United States became rich on the backs of free black labor. That's utter nonsense. Slavery doesn't have a very good record of producing wealth. Think about it. Slavery was all over the South and outlawed in most of the North. Buying into the reparations nonsense, the antebellum South was rich and the slave-starved North was poor. But the truth is just the opposite. In fact, the poorest states and regions of our country were places where slavery flourished, places like Mississippi, Alabama, and Georgia. while the richest states and regions were those where slavery was absent, Pennsylvania, New York, and Massachusetts. The reparations movement would be a little more than an amusing sideshow were it not for the damage it can do to blacks themselves. It misallocates time and resources that could be more fruitfully spent elsewhere. There's a growing black-owned and operated private school movement that addresses the fraudulent education of the public school system. Resources of the reparations movement could be used to add more private schools. High-powered reparation lawyers could use their legal skills to make court challenges of numerous state and local monopolistic regulations that stop people from getting into business, such as taxi licensing fees, cosmetology regulations, and restrictions on jitney and limousine operations. These lawyers should bring class action suits against public school systems in cities like Philadelphia, Washington, Detroit, and New York for producing fraudulent education, certifying youngsters as high school graduates when those youngsters can't perform at 7th and 8th grade levels. There is a reparations issue completely ignored. Blacks, as well as whites, live on land taken, sometimes brutally, from Indians. Do blacks owe reparations to Indians? David Frum in the Atlantic Monthly rightly pointed out that in any program of reparations, other claimants will come rushing forward. If black Americans are due payment for slavery and subjugation, what about those Native American Indians who lost a whole continent? What about Mexican Americans who were deprived by the Mexican-American War of the right to migrate into half of their former country? Japanese Americans interned during World War II, or Chinese Americans, the victims of coolie labor and the Oriental Exclusion Acts. Members of these groups may concede that they were not maltreated in the same way as black Americans, and they may even agree that they may not be entitled to exactly the same consideration. But if black Americans are entitled to almost $1 trillion in reparation compensation, surely these other maltreated groups must be entitled to at least something. Does that white delivery man peddling through a black neighborhood owe a debt to the people whose food he carries? The reparations idea, so long politically outlandish, has become thinkable today because of the growing power of liberal and socialist Democrats. Under today's racial preference rules, a nephew of the King of Spain or the daughter of the chairman of the biggest bank in Chile would both qualify for Hispanic preferences if they resided in the United States. Harvard can and does meet its African-American diversity requirements with the children of recent African immigrants whose families never experienced slavery or segregation in this country. What about illegal immigrants from Africa who subsequently gained legalization? Would amnesty come with a check attached? A reparations plan would prove to be disastrous and divide this country even further. Is a black man or woman who arrived in America on their own 5 years ago entitled to part of the reparations package? Why not? They're black, they're in America. If paid to individuals as an income stream, reparations would disincentivize work. If paid to individuals in a lump sum, reparations would expose one of America's least financially sophisticated populations to predatory practices that would make subprime lending seem socially responsible by contrast. Affirmative action's quirks and injustices are notorious, but they will be nothing compared to the strange consequences of a reparations program. Not all black people are poor. Not all non-black people are rich. Does Oprah have a house cleaner? Who changes the diapers of Beyoncé's baby? Will convicted criminals be eligible for payments? If not, the program would exclude perhaps 1 million black Americans who are in our prisons. If yes, the program would potentially tax victims of rape and families of the murdered for the benefit of their assailants. Simply put, when government spends money on complex programs, the people who provide the service usually ends up with more sway over the spending than the spending's intended beneficiaries. The poorer the beneficiaries, the more powerfully this rule holds. And it has held strongest in all programs intended to aid the black poor. The District of Columbia's public schools have excelled at delivering stable jobs to their union employees. But they have terribly failed their students. Affirmative action ranks among the least popular things that the U.S. government does. When surveyed, white Americans crushingly reject race preferences. Hispanic Americans object by a margin of 2-1. And black Americans are almost evenly divided. Now, imagine how Americans will feel when what is redistributed by racial calculus is not university admissions or workplace promotions, but actual foldable cash taken from the pockets of working Americans. Committing yourself to a solution before you have any idea whether such a solution is workable, or rather, in defiance of pretty strong reasons that the solution is utterly unworkable, is not a responsible reaction to America's racial dilemmas. Instead, we'll be all too quickly to repeat it once more. The sad pattern of so many civil rights initiatives, the bold announcement, the raised hopes, the unexpected difficulties, the suppression of open discussion of those difficulties, the committing of the project into bureaucracy, then the realization of failure, followed by the discovery of the political impossibility of reforming or repairing that failure. Young black Americans spend, on average, 4.5 hours more per day with electronic media, notably television, video games, and other forms of online entertainment, than their white counterparts. While all young people spend a lot of time, too much time, in front of screens, black youth watch far and away the most television, almost 3.5 hours per day, or an hour and a quarter more than young whites. Almost 80% of black youth say they usually eat their meals in front of a TV set. This disparity is growing wider, not narrowing, as more forms of electronic media become available. The disparity shrinks, but does not disappear, with education and income. The best predictor of how much TV a child will watch is not whether he or she lives in a single or two-parent family. It is not family income or wealth. It is race. Even the most disadvantaged black youth spend 90 minutes more per day with electronic media than do their white contemporaries. It's not surprising to hear that heavy use of electronic media correlates with all kinds of bad outcomes, from obesity to poor school performance. But detailing the cause of something does not reveal the remedy. To realize their full potential, those kids must watch less TV. No plausible government program can shut down their devices for them. That decision, like most every other decision, leads to self and collective improvement, and it must come from families and within individuals themselves. The government of the United States could trace the genealogy of every white family and send a massive bill to the descendants of every slaveholder and every slumlord who did business from 1619 to 2018. It could redistribute that money in a princely sum. But that money would not change unhealthy dietary patterns, or enhance language skills, or teach habits on which thriving communities are built. It would not replace fathers who abandon their children, or cut drug use or teen pregnancy. On the contrary, the free money would encourage more drug use. Can you imagine the uproar that would follow attempts to take money from white people and give it to black people, like Maxine Waters and Al Sharpton, to atone for mistakes made more than 150 years ago by white people you never even knew? If reparations means what most Americans reasonably interpret it to mean, cash flowing from some Americans to others in race-conscious ways meant to redress the racial wrongs of the past, then it's a disastrous idea for all groups of society. A great deal of America's problems stem from activists who hold power by promising more and more free stuff, and the people who cannot get enough of that free stuff. Until society rejects the jackals peddling free stuff for political power, the ludicrous idea of reparations will continue to be dangled before a gullible throng of people who envy what others have and demand that it be given to them. I appreciate your listening to my commentary this week. We do this every week. I've been doing it for more than 50 years. I believe in America. I believe in its principles. Has it made mistakes over the years? Of course it has. Has any country in the world not made mistakes? Do white people make mistakes? Yes. Do black people make mistakes? Of course they do. This idea of dividing ourselves by race will destroy us. And it's getting worse. I don't dislike black people because they're black. I may dislike some because of what they are, how they present themselves, what ideas they put forward, but I would never, never dislike or hate somebody because of the color of their skin. I see black people all the time. I work with black people. I grew up on tenant farms where we worked with black people. We played with other black children. Those days, folks, are pretty much gone. Now we see whites and blacks being taught to dislike one another. This country cannot survive that, and we must change that. Again, I appreciate your listening this week. Please join us again next week, same time, same station. This is Tom Joyner. Have a great day.